You're listening to Birth of a New Earth. My name is Janice Barcello. I'm your host for this show here at Republic Broadcasting Network. Dear friends, we are, as you know, completely listener-supported at this station, and we'd all be so grateful if you'd be willing to reach into your pockets and pull out a little bit of cash and donate to the station so that we can keep the information flowing, keep this station on the air, online. I know many people are listening many hours a day to RBN. So please, if you're receiving benefit from us, please do give back a little something to help keep us going. So today I'm going to be addressing an issue that's come up since I think it was either my last show or the show before. I received a number of comments about the issue of eating meat. And I wanted to address this today. This is not an easy task, and I really want to ask the Creator to guide my thoughts and to guide my words so that any information I'm sharing is being shared in love and to support the expansion of mankind's consciousness, to raise us up to a higher level of love and empathy and kindness so that we can return to the original design, the Creator's order, which is based on love. And before I jump into this topic, I wanted to ask my producer, Frank, to share the following clip from a YouTube video that a friend sent me the other day, which contains some positive news that I think people, you know, a lot of people will be relieved to even contemplate what's being shared here. But also there's some wisdom coming in at the end of this that will allow me to pick up from his point afterwards. So, Frank, if you'd be willing to play that clip for me, I'd be so grateful.
There's never been a time like this before, and it's going to result in a shift at a level that's never happened in our history. And this is not a shift in terms of political, economic, financial, militaristic. It is not about money or power or control or economics. It is about consciousness. And I do feel that when I look at what's happening with the world, that we've lost the climate battle. We've lost it. You know, there's going to be 2 or 3 years of chaos in various different levels now. But I'm an optimist, okay? And it seems to me that once we're into what I see as this new age, or call it the age of Aquarius, if you like, by the middle of 2026, it's a whole new paradigm, whole new ball game. And people who are still trying to make quick money and trying to have power over others and still trying to be controlling and greedy, they're going to be seen as dinosaurs. And they are dinosaurs already. They're just, most people haven't caught up with that yet. This is why astrology is the lingua franca of the emerging consciousness revolution. If astrology were taught in schools, we'd see an end to warfare and religion within a couple of generations, at the most. But we're seeing the times drawing in. It's like we're heading into this ever-narrowing tunnel towards this nexus point, this nodal point of some type of transcendence and emergence into a new reality, a new consciousness. And what we're going to see is that some people will make this jump, and they'll become kind of enlightened. And others won't, and they'll get caught up in the materialism, and then slowly they will pass. It might take a generation or two. But the human experiment has matured. Humanity can no longer, the apprenticeship is coming to an end. And we're at that point in the next 3 years from an astrological perspective, and the crop circle's coming to an end, back it up for me, where we make that jump into a higher consciousness, or we don't. And if we don't, hey, then we'll go the same way as the dinosaurs. But I think we will, the majority of us anyway. And within the space of my lifetime, I expect to see a change like it's not only inconceivable, it's unimaginable, but it's good. Imagine if we all retained our identity and our individuality, but we all accelerated our ability for empathy and intimacy, where we knew what each other was feeling without words. Imagine the pain we'd be able to see if we could see what killing animals for fun or killing animals for food was causing them. Imagine the pain we would if we knew what was happening when we see soldiers killing each other on war fronts. If we could feel that a lot more, we'd soon put an end to these barbaric practices. Change or die. That's what's coming.
That's what's coming, folks. Change or die. Grow, expand, lift ourselves in consciousness, in empathy, in our ability to care for other living things, our ability, our unwillingness to harm living things. I try not to kill even insects. I have to say parasites are very hard for me not to kill, especially mosquitoes. But I don't kill insects. If I find insects in the house, I find a way to catch them and move them outside, or I just leave them alone and figure they'll find their way wherever they're going. So we have to understand the nature of our shifting reality, which means we're no longer going to be able to vibrate at the same speed at which we've been vibrating, that has kept us in an increasingly heavy, dark, evil, and deeply satanic reality. I don't know how much lower things can go. I mean, we're really at the bottom of the pit. But he says another 3 years, and I do pay attention astrologically, not because I think the planets or the stars have any power over us. I think we're the ones moving the planets and the stars, and that the stars and the planets are like a snapshot of what it is we're creating in any given moment and where we are on the timeline of this transition. So this guy's an astrologer. He sees within 3 years' time there is going to be a complete change, a metamorphosis. And some people will be able to make the change, to make the transition, and others will stay behind. They will remain with their devices, with their dying children and their dying pets and their own dying bodies, marching into smart cities with all their conveniences. But they won't live. They're coming to an end. One or two generations at the most. and those bloodlines will be complete. It is only the bloodlines that are willing to lift themselves up and back towards the Creator, back towards the energy of love, that are going to make it to the other side. And hopefully that's going to be the majority of us. But did you notice what he said? As we lift ourselves, we're going to be able to experience empathy, intuition, yes, telepathy. We will know what other people are thinking, not just people, all living things around us. We will know what they are thinking and feeling. We will be able to communicate as we were designed to communicate with all living things around us. To imagine people going, you know, a group of men going into the forest to murder defenseless animals with their guns is going to be unthinkable. It should already be unthinkable, but it's not, because people have been raised this way. And to believe that this is normal and okay, and even to believe that it's necessary and healthy. What kind of cowardice does it take to walk into a living environment with your guns and kill something that has no defense? Why don't you walk out into the jungle with your bare hands and confront a lion? All right, that would be a fair match. Right? Man versus lion. Take them on. See where you get. But no, you see, men have guns. Now women have guns. Now women are going into the military and becoming cops and acting like, you know, they're pretty flippin' macho. Look, the military and the police academy are in service to the dark side. And that is becoming increasingly apparent. Even if people go in with good intentions, it doesn't matter, because you are still serving the dark side as having become part of these satanic institutions that are designed to support the continuation of evil. None of this is, let me put it this way, because I got comments about how masculine it is to kill the animals and eat the animals, and how, you know, my testosterone levels are going to go up and all of this stuff, okay? The only thing that's going to go up in your body are the adrenaline and cortisol levels from the animals that have been tortured, imprisoned, raped, terrified, immense suffering, and then murdered, and especially if they're murdered through kosher or halal, absolutely tortured to death, with the blood being drained out of them slowly so that their life force can be sucked by the demonic entities that are murdering them. And people are eating this stuff. You know how much of your food now has the kosher label on it? Look at your boxed food, my friends, what you call food. And know that a rabbi has cursed your food, that the kosher label is sitting right there. And if your food does not contain blood, which we simply don't know anymore what they're putting in this food, all these stories about the Jews putting blood in the matzah, and I mean, they do this, okay, because they are Satanists, because they're Luciferians. And we ourselves have accepted their offerings. Yes, I'll accept this as food, and I'll take it into myself, and I will consume this. I will consume this energy of suffering What do you think happens to us when we do this? And I want to be clear, I did not become a vegetarian, and I don't create a whole identity around being a vegetarian. A lot of people that eat meat, you know, they have an identity that's based on, if I'm going to be a man, I'm going to eat meat, I'm going to go hunting, I'm going to drink beer, you know, not Bud Light anymore. This is an identity thing, okay? I'm a vegetarian. That's not my identity. I only talk about it if people ask me. Okay? It's not the essence of who I am. But I didn't become a vegetarian to save the animals. I mean, I understood that I would be helping that. But I knew, and this is more than 25 years ago, I knew that eating the flesh of dead animals was going to weigh heavily on my potential for spiritual development. I knew that it would keep me in a state of density and not being able to see what's actually happening in this realm. And so I stopped. And it wasn't hard to do. It was actually pretty easy. I mean, seriously, I went on a weekend thing where they were serving vegetarian food the whole weekend. And I thought, well, I'm just going to keep doing it and see how long I can go. 3 weeks later, I ate a chicken cutlet, or I tried to eat a chicken cutlet because I loved my mother's chicken cutlets. And after 3 weeks of not eating any meat, it tasted like total crap. Like absolute disgusting. And then I accidentally ate meat once again on a plane when I had ordered a vegetarian meal, but they served me ravioli with beef in it. Man, my guts were totally not working. For like 10 days, I was in real pain having consumed this energy. So I never did it again. I continued eating fish for some time when I lived on Maui. And then I got back to New York in 2011 and I bought some fish at the health food store and I fed some to my cat because she also, you know, eats fish. But she tried to bury the fish. She wasn't going to eat that fish because it's not like the fish you get in Hawaii. You know, it wasn't fresh. She tried to bury it, and I knew at that time that if it's not good for her, it's not good for me. So I'm not going to eat that anymore either, and I haven't eaten that since. Everything is a process. You know, we take it one step at a time. I originally went into a health food store probably 30 years ago to get probiotics because I had heard that antibiotics cause yeast infections. And I had to take antibiotics, but I also heard that if you take these things called probiotics, you won't get a yeast infection when you take antibiotics. So I went in and got some probiotics, and I noticed they had organic meat there. So I started buying organic turkey. Like, this is how it all started for me. One step at a time, you start buying organic things. You start perusing what they have in the health food store. You start making better choices for yourself and for your spiritual development and obviously for your body, for the, you know, the frequency at which your body can vibrate and resonate. And this is what we have to consider. If we're moving up in consciousness, things are going to speed up. And guess who can exist in the higher realm? That's right, folks. The Jews, those who are of an immense density, cannot exist in the higher realms. They will be leaving our world. They will not be amongst us anymore. And we will finally be free of this evil. We'll be right back after the break.
As we join together in synergy, we're invited to live. The birth of a new way on planet Earth. We welcome this new day on planet Earth. It's the birth of a new way on planet Earth. We welcome this new day on planet Earth.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interest as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Let's jump right back into it. So I wanted first, and I wanted to say also before I read something from Lorraine Day, there's an article that came out this morning about how many people are developing allergies to meat. They're getting sick from the meat. They're getting symptoms of nausea, vomiting, hives, in some cases even anaphylaxis. Okay, so there's going to be an increasing situation where this is going to make people sick. As the energy increases, as the vibration speeds up, fewer and fewer people are going to be able to tolerate this. They're going to be getting sick from doing it, and it's already happening. So something to pay attention to. Now, I have a listener. His name is Phil, and he sent me something very interesting last night from Lorraine Day. A lot of Christians really, really like Lorraine Day. She's an 86-year-old. She fancies herself a Bible expert, and interestingly enough, she believes that our future is vegan vegetarian, despite her attachment to the God of the Bible and the Bible itself. Somehow she's come to the conclusion that that God plans for everybody to become vegan and vegetarian. So let me read to you an exchange that Phil had with Lorraine Day. So he wrote to her and he said, "People keep saying how good and sharp you are at 86. Do you use a filter in your video appearances? Usually when I see a vegan, their health or appearance is worse than someone eating a standard diet. What's different about your veganism versus common veganism? She says, see, this is another belief that meat eaters have, is that vegans and vegetarians are unhealthy. She says, I don't have any filter. I wouldn't even know how to use one. I just sit in front of my computer, and it's the camera in the Mac computer that does the videotaping. Some of the best athletes are vegan vegetarians. I have a whole list of them in my book, Getting Started on Getting Well. The beasts of burden are vegan vegetarians, including horses. They don't look emaciated. God created all animals and man vegan vegetarians. What did they eat in the Garden of Eden? Fruit and grains? No animals ate each other until after Adam and Eve sinned. This is her take on it. In heaven and the earth made new, everyone will be a vegan vegetarian. The Bible says so. Now, let me just stop for a second here, because my reading of the Bible indicates that the God of the Bible really enjoys the scent of burning flesh. He commands animal and human sacrifice, and also enjoys sending his followers to go to war and kill everything alive that breathes. So this seems to me a bit of a contradiction that she believes that God wants everyone to be a vegan vegetarian. But this is her belief. And she says the Bible says so. I don't know where the Bible says this, other than the lambs will lie down with the lions. I don't know where it says anything about vegans and vegetarians, but maybe it's in there and I haven't seen it. Let me go on. She also says, eating the carcasses of dead animals is not only unnecessary, it is disgusting. And it is one of the main contributors to cancer. That's why the Bible says, you reap what you sow. You want to eat dead animals? You have a higher risk of developing cancer, heart disease, and every other disease. I discuss all the medical evidence for this in my books. One book has over 350 medical references from the finest peer-reviewed journals showing why God's health plan, including a vegan diet, actually works to promote health and eliminate diseases of all types. Okay, so for the Christians out there who believe that they're following the Christian law by killing animals and eating animals, I invite you to explore Lorraine Day's work, read Lorraine Day's books, and contemplate her perception of what the Bible actually says. I agree that there are many contradictions in this, but she's an interesting woman nonetheless. And I have a friend at the station here who bought me one of her books. And yes, it's an interesting, she's got some interesting concepts about the Bible. I think a lot of them are very far stretched, but she's an interesting woman. So I encourage you to take a look at that. And for those who are willing to, well, maybe I'll leave this next piece until after the next break, because I want to read an excerpt from the Ringing Cedars books, which are a much elevated, a spiritually elevated understanding of the whole world and where we're going. So this is well beyond what the Bible is saying, into the realm of what the heart of creation is actually saying, and how things were at the very beginning of the creation of, at the creation of mankind, at the creation of pristine earthlings. I hear the music, so we'll be right after the break, and I'll read you that excerpt coming back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's jump right back in. And I do, before I read the segment from the Ringing Cedars books, I do want to put out a call to the sacred masculine, the masculine that would protect and defend the vulnerable, the masculine that would have enough energetic power in love to put his hands on a wounded person or a wounded animal to help that animal heal, that would never contemplate harming a vulnerable creature that has no means of self-defense, much less consuming the flesh of such a creature. You know, cows are so gentle and so kind and so loving to their young. And the pain that we are causing these animals, it's not just cows, it's everything. Pigs, lambs. It has to come to an end. And it is coming to an end. And the sacred masculine will rise, and the wounded masculine will pass into history, because it's not benefiting things. In its current state, it needs to rise up. Let me read you from the Ringing Cedars books. This first segment, she's talking about the past, the origins. And she says, back then, man was not distracted from his great work by any problems of finding food. He was fed by everything around him through the air. This was the way it was all designed by the Creator right from the very beginning, so that all life on earth should strive to please man, and the air and water and the breeze would be life-giving under the impulse of love. Man did not bother feeding the animals. On the contrary, they fed him. Let me just pause here for a second, because there's a scene in these books where the author of the books, who I would call a wounded masculine person, brings his son, who is the embodiment of the sacred masculine. This child is 5 years old. So he brings his son some of the many blessings of our civilization, including a few books. Okay, and the child opens the book and starts reading about man, how man had to search for food, and, you know, all of his days and nights were spent hunting and killing. Okay, and the boy looks at his father and he says, "I do not understand this concept. Why would any person have to search for food?" So now remember, this child is brought up without any technocratic trappings. He's in the forest. He lives with his super conscious mother. He has a direct link with the divine mind because he's not been influenced by the dark side. So what he does to try to make sense of the lies in this book is he sits down on the ground. He pretends that he is wounded, blind, unable to stand up, and he starts banging on the ground and making these weird sounds. So all the creatures in the forest are alerted to the fact that the child is in distress, and they're all trying to figure out what to do for this child. So in a nutshell, quite literally, the squirrels and various other animals start delivering nuts, seeds, mushrooms, and putting them in front of the child. But the child is still banging on the ground, making these funny noises. So the squirrel immediately starts shelling the nuts, just with his mouth, because squirrels have this capacity. And then climbing up on the child's arm to put the seeds into the child's mouth. Okay, so there are several instances in the Ringing Cedars books demonstrating the care and concern that the animals of the forest show for Anastasia and her child and her grandfather and her great-grandfather. Okay, all the living things in that forest are dedicated to the care of mankind and to making them happy, and they thrive on our attention, our love. Simply petting them makes them ecstatic. They're so happy to receive our loving attention and our kindness. And in my gut, when I read these things and I can see the images in my mind, I know that this is in our history and that this is happening now on the earth, in Russia. Because this bloodline exists. So the child was demonstrating to his father that the book was filled with lies, that pristine mankind didn't have to search at all for food. It was all kinds of pollen and ethers that kept us alive and healthy, not to mention the overwhelming number of plants and fruits, mushrooms, nuts that grow wild and are available all year round, although various things are available at different times. Let me continue. She says, during the Vedic age, both man and his household pets were vegetarian and never ate meat. They would not even think of it. The tremendous variety of plants around were able to supply man's taste abundantly, not only his, but that of the animals surrounding him. people in the Vedic age did not know a single disease of the flesh, even at the age of 150 or 200 years. They maintained a lively spirit, a joy of living, and remained completely healthy. Of course, we've been lied to and told the reverse, that we're now living so much longer than we used to. That is a Jewish lie. That is a medical lie, as if the medical establishment has increased our longevity. Total bunk. It's one of the biggest lies. In the same way, it's a lie that women were dying in droves before the medical establishment. Just the opposite is true. Everything that comes out of their mouths, the opposite is true. Let me continue. She says, they had no doctors or healers, such as exist in great numbers today. Diseases of the flesh were impossible because the way of life in one's own domain, the natural space of love, which they themselves had established, completely regulated their intake of food. Man's body was supplied with everything it needed in the required quantity and at the time most favorable for its consumption, and at the most favorable planetary alignment for the intake of food. What is she saying here? She's saying there are certain things that grow at certain types of the year, and it is at these times of the year that it is most fitting for us to be consuming these things. Well, they will have their highest nutritional and vibrational gifts to offer us. And especially if these things are grown in our space of love, which is a whole nother concept that I can't address today. She goes on to say, useful food provided to man by animals included milk, only not from just any animal. Man selected only those that were considered kind, tender, and keen of mind, those who demonstrated an eagerness to offer man what they produced. All right, this is very different than the milk that most people are consuming, which is actually being harvested after babies are stolen from the cows or the goats. Much of the time, these animals are raped through artificial insemination to become pregnant. The babies are stolen from them. The milk is stolen from them. Sometimes machines are attached to their teats to suck out as much life force as possible. And they've been shot up with hormones and antibiotics and all kinds of filth, including COVID shots, that humans are now drinking up. Yum. Very, very different way of life that we have now to the one that was the original design. She goes on to say, and every man of the Vedic culture was fully aware that what he consumed as food not only fed the body, but filled the soul with conscious awareness. At the same time, it conveyed affirmation directly to him from all the worlds of the universe. What is she saying here? The food contains information from the Creator, from the original design. When you consume living food instead of dead carcasses, you are consuming information that can assist you in rising up in consciousness, in seeing things more clearly, and understanding the nature of our original reality as compared to the one that we are living in. And, you know, I talk about this in my parenting program. You compare breast milk to formula. Okay, breast milk contains the consciousness of the mother. She can pass all the information she has onto her baby through her breast milk. And you compare that to dead milk. It's not even milk. Dead chemical formulas filled with poisons designed to cause your child to become brain dead, basically, although there's no such thing as brain death, that's a total fiction, but I mean, to make your child retarded, vibrationally stunted, spiritually mutant. Now, I'm not trying to get on the case of women that have not been able to breastfeed, because a lot of women can't breastfeed. They themselves were not breastfed. They have no memory in their body of how to breastfeed. And it's a tremendous effort, especially with all the interventions and drugs that they are given to prevent breastfeeding and bonding with their children. Okay, but chemical food, PHUD, is not the same as living food that contains the consciousness of creation. And this should be a no-brainer, folks. Let me go on. She goes on to say, the whole range of foodstuffs sold in our modern supermarkets has nowhere near the fragrance and taste of the pristine produce of the Vedic age. Completely indifferent to man, it has no feeling or soul. It does not belong to anyone and is beholden to no one. It is simply merchandise for a sale. So this is very different than a couple that creates a space of love and plants fruit trees with the thought in their mind to create nourishment, beautiful scents running through the air for their family. That food that grows in that space of love, because of the consciousness with which it's grown, has a very different chemical makeup, not to mention taste and scent, than the food that's grown for money. These are two completely different types of energies. All right, the guy who wrote the book, the wounded masculine guy, says, so that means we have a very distorted understanding of how the ancient people fed themselves. She said, yes, that's right. Perhaps it's an attempt to justify your current barbarity in regard to the treatment of animals. The farther you go back into history, the fewer people you'll encounter eating meat. They had a sufficient supply of growing things to sustain themselves. As for animals, they took from them only what the animals themselves gave to man, milk and eggs, for example. Meat could have been harmful to the stomachs of the first people. And here's the last part. Meat was first consumed by a less than complete man, one drained of the energy of love. It seems that he either... If we could skip the next break, Frank, I'd be really grateful, and then I'll take the caller when I'm done reading this. Let me back up again. Meat was first consumed by a less than complete man, one drained of the energy of love. Let that sink in. It seems that he either went out of his mind or was infected with the most terrible disease, a disease which has come down to the present day. And then Vladimir, the wounded masculine man, says, but what connection can there possibly be between love and man's first consumption of meat? And she says, there is a direct connection. A man living in the energy of love is incapable of killing. A man living in love is incapable of killing. And I'm going to close it with that excerpt from the Ringing Cedars books, which you can obtain at ringinglikeabellcedarslikethetrees.com, ringingcedars.com. Chris, would you like to say something?
On astrology, first off, you're talking earlier that there's a great book on the wide periods and the yudras, you may have heard of in astrology, that seem to influence the ascension and decline of man in cycles, or man's awareness. And that book is called The Holy Science by Swami Sri Yukteswar, who is Paramahansa Yogananda's guru. Though I think it's important to note also that we can surpass our astrological influences. Knowing about them is important, but intuitively it is even more important to know what your influences are, whether they're astrological or some other kind of energy. You know, we have all the synthetic EMF influences now, so it's important to know what the influence is and the source. Or, you know, even if you're watching, say, a movie, you know, when you're more at peace, it's easier to pick up on the subliminal messages, and it might spoil it for other people if you let them know. But, you know, I think it's, and also, you know, on where we get our energy from, you know, those who are trying to feed on our energy we'd be better off, you know, not forming that habit, and we'd be better off stopping them, of course, for our own good. But, you know, how do you replace that kind of psychotic need for parasitism? And, well, there's unlimited energy when you become still and like I say, overcome all influences. To reinforce your own life force, becoming still, you can invite in God's Holy Spirit, or you can call prana or chi or orgone, and help other people as well in the myopsychosis. So I'll just read to you a little meme that I made just on July 21st on my Facebook page. Being in love with ideas, one finds the source in stillness, where there's no want for ideas, manifested, demanifested, and yet to be. Those in love with ideas are likely among the approximately 1% who some hypnotists are willing to admit cannot be hypnotized, because they are already in a highly focused state. Trance starts with compliments and other flattery. Nothing is more flattering to oneself and infectious to others than ecstatic God communion. Mass formation psychosis is reversible, as the individual change needed is a worthy inside job. So what do you think, Janice?
Yeah, it's a worthy inside job to be willing to make changes in your life. You know, you brought up the EMFs and what people are watching, what people are taking in through their cell phones and whatever their, all the social media, you know, all the music that they listen to, if you listen to the radio. I don't know if I've said, I think I have said this, but I stopped watching TV in 1989. I haven't had a television since. The only music I listen to right now is, I belong to what's called the Bruno Gröning Circle of Friends. And this is a guy that lived in Germany right after World War II, and he brought tremendous healing to many thousands of people through his link with the Creator, and the healings are still occurring. In any event, people in the circle make music, and it's magnificent music, and there's many DVDs, and that's all I listen to when I get in my car. I don't listen to music that's produced by the mainstream anymore, because I know they're sending subliminal frequencies through the music to entrain people to the Luciferian realm, just like they're doing with your cell phones and the towers and all of what we've invited and said yes to into our lives are entraining us. And yes, we have the power to overcome it, as Chris is pointing out, but it's a choice. You have to be willing to not distract yourself long enough, you know, and to get quiet and listen to God's thoughts. Did you want to say one more thing? Because we're almost out of time, Chris.
Yeah, and it's also a matter of remembering choices we made when we were more clear-headed before we incarnated, that we had objectives to accomplish, and we can keep going if, you know, surpass our plans as well as our astrological and other influences. we can, I realize that, we can put astrology behind us if we can listen to ourselves, our gut, and our God-given peace.
Always keep in mind that astrology is a snapshot of what's happening at a moment in time. It can tell you something about what you are interested to incarnate for, the gifts you come in with, the challenges you might have. It does not control you. You control it. You control the movement of the stars. This is also discussed in the Ringing Cedars books. When we start believing that these forces have control over us, then it becomes a cult. It becomes a cult manipulation and madness. It is not real. These things don't have power over us. We have power over them. So I do want to also say, once the good is happening, okay, in the world, I just want to tell you that the Ringing Cedars books were published in Russia. Okay, there's so much good happening in Russia right now that it's hard for me to cover it. I'm going to be brief and just read you basic headlines. Russian Minister of Health asks women to pursue motherhood before career. What a concept to start breaking this whole Jew feminist mind control system that tells women it's more empowering to get out of the home and take care of the Jewish businesses than it is to raise your own children. All right, they're putting the kibosh on this in Russia. Putin signs gender reassignment ban into law. All right, any medical interventions aimed at changing the sex of a person are illegal in Russia. Individuals that have undergone this kind of surgery are banned from adopting children. Any marriages that occurred with transgender people are annulled. Okay, Russia is on it. Russia bans several major porn sites. Russia pays its citizens to have large families. GMO foods are totally banned in Russia. Russia looks to become the leading organic food exporter of the world. Putin mocks the U.S. Embassy for flying the gay pride flag. Putin orders the government to do more to reduce the number of abortions by offering support to pregnant women. Russian government banning Wi-Fi and cell phones in primary schools. I could go on. I could go on. This is happening in Russia because of the consciousness of the people in Russia, because the people have read the Ringing Cedars books and they got it. We'll be back next week, friends, with more empowering, uplifting, and truth information coming to you. Thank you for tuning in this week. See you soon. Bye for now.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
This is RBN,
The Republic Broadcasting Network.